I've been thinking about a particular verse. It's part of Paul's great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and it's in the context of love. And as Reverend McLean said, do you believe that we can love completely without complete understanding? I think that's true. 1 Corinthians 13, just verse 12 is kind of a reflection on this. Paul writes this, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know fully, even as I am fully known." Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for your gifts, which are so good and oftentimes so simple. And we just thank you for the beautiful weather. We thank you for each and everyone here. We pray in the midst of all things, whether each individual is feeling good or struggling with something, Lord, we thank you that you are present in our partials, in our lives. And so, Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, saying, amen. So reflecting on the lives of his murdered brother and father, who was a Presbyterian pastor up in Missoula, Norman McLean wrote that famous book, in the last 30 years, movie, A River Runs Through It. Norman McLean said this, "Like many Scottish ministers before him, my father had to derive what comfort he could from the faith that his son had died fighting." And that's a big partial. That's a hard thing. Some of you have children that are wayward. God is not done yet. Amen? Right. And yet, Reverend McLean responded to Norman regarding the uncertain details of his murdered son, Paul, saying, again, "You can love completely without complete understanding." He said, "That I have known and have preached." To which Norman mused, he said, "Suddenly it made me wonder whether I understood even my father, whom I felt closer to than any man I've ever known. And yet it's those we live with that we love and should know that sometimes elude us," right? Have you ever woken up and wondered, I know my wife has, who are you? 32 years anniversary this week. Who are you, right? All of this caused me to reflect on the passing of my own father, who died almost a year and a half ago already. Being his son, I thought I knew him. And in many ways, I did, at least in part. I wasn't prepared for the wonder, the surprise of discovering that other people knew my father in ways that I did not. This was a revelation. Whether it was through friendship, business or club relations, or even the church, the family church itself, I found myself amused in kind of a strange way, grateful, and at times even a little embarrassed. But as Reverend McLean reminded me in all this, he said, "You can love completely without complete understanding." So why should I be surprised by all this? The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, 12, his famous love chapter, that in regard to love in this world, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So here's my question to you this morning. It is this: can you stay present in the partial? Can we stay present in the partial, even though, as Paul says in the old King James, though we see through a glass darkly? Over the last several weeks, I've talked about this idea of our Christian worldview that is radically, diametrically opposed to this world. You may remember that according to the Bible, we said this: the world can be defined this way. It is the systems of men and women that are hostile to God. We live in the midst of a lot of hostility to God, don't we? The systems of this world. They are hostile to God, lost in sin, ruined, and depraved. Kind of just hearkening back to a few previous sermons, that could be whether it's the so-called Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, remember those? Who encourage people to go and sin some more, not no more, some more. Or those who want the kingdom without what?
Without
without the king? Or those who think, last week we talked about this, that somehow aging is a problem to be fixed. Therefore, they undervalue our society's precious seniors. All of these and more are simply different examples, manifestations of the systems of men and women who want the kingdom without the king, who are clearly hostile to God, lost in sin, ruined, and depraved. In fact, the word sin is not a popular word. It probably never was popular, but it's not used as much anymore. Oh, my bad. I made a mistake. You may have sinned, and that might need some repentance or change, right? Why should we be surprised that sometimes it is hard to choose Jesus each and every day? Why should we be surprised that sometimes it's hard to not allow the world to seep in its influences into our lives and families? Why should we be surprised that sometimes it is hard, is it not, to stay present in the partial, especially when we can't see past this crazy moment in life? Well, kind of like the time. When an elderly man owned a large farm in Louisiana, in the back of his farm he had a pond that was great to go swimming on hot summer days. And the old farmer, he fixed it up real nice. He put picnic tables there, horseshoe pits, some lovely apple and peach trees. And one evening he thought he would take a little stroll to his pond with an empty 5-gallon bucket. And he was going to pick some of those peaches and bring them home to his wife to make a delicious peach cobbler. Well, as he appeared closer and closer, as he got to the pond, he noticed that there were some unknown people present, laughing, splashing, having a good time. And when the farmer got a little closer, he noticed that it was a bunch of young women who were clearly skinny dipping in his pond. Coughing loudly, he made his presence known to the bunch of young women who were in his pond, and they all immediately swam to the far side of that pond. And then one of the young ladies got very indignant and loud and said, "Mister, your presence is not welcome here, and we're not getting out till you leave." "Young lady," the farmer replied, "I didn't come here down here to watch you swim naked or get, you know, make you get out of my pond, so please continue to enjoy yourselves." And that's when the wily old timer simply held up his 5-gallon bucket and said, "Ladies, I just came down here to feed the alligators." It's Louisiana. Huh. The good... What's present in your life? Might be some alligators. The good news is that we have a God who is completely present. In fact, one of the names for God in the Old Testament, you may know, is Yahweh. Yahweh. And you may remember that name from the famous story of Moses and the burning bush. We've been studying the book of Exodus in the adult ed time an hour before church. Maybe you'd like to be a part of that teaching time. It's always a hoot. After God commissioned Moses to rescue his people in Egypt, Moses asked the Lord, he said, what should I tell Pharaoh? Who should I tell him who sent me? And God said this, "Tell Pharaoh that Yahweh, the great I am, sent you." Why? Because God is always perfectly present, isn't he? Even and especially when we don't feel it. In fact, theologians like to talk about the so-called attributes of God. These are the things that are essentially true about God, which without which he would no longer be God. You know, things like God is love, right? God is just. God is holy, God is merciful, etc. All these things mutually support and influence one another in our understanding and experience of the Lord. But it's also important to understand that when we say something like God is love, you cannot also say that love is God. Important, right? Love is God, really? No, that's idolatrous because you cannot reduce God to one thing. Only. You cannot do that. And our society does that. We're very slipshod, right? It's common, I hear in culture, to say, well, you know, love is love. Love is love. What do you mean by that? No, it is not. The Christian definition of love is willing the good of another apart from any personal gain. And if you're willing the good of another, sometimes you got to say no, right? I love you too much. You know, would you say to a heroin addict, "That's okay, you do you," right? You wouldn't say that because love is not love. Love is willing the good of another. Let's not reduce God to any one thing. That would be idolatrous. And so then we get to the omnis. You know the omnis? God is omnipotent. He is all powerful, okay? God is omniscient. He is all knowing. Finally, we get God is omnipresent, meaning God is fully and perfectly present everywhere. In fact, outside of hell, there is no time or place in which God is absent. That's one of the reasons why hell is such an unimaginably awful place or thing, right? Because God will not be present there. God is not present there. By the way, we need to get another theological truth clear. I hear this one too. Understand, God never sends anyone to hell. He doesn't. You're like, you don't believe in hell, Jim? I do believe in hell. This is what I believe. People send themselves to hell, right? Important difference. Why? Because they said they want nothing to do with God's presence in their life, not now or not ever, right? Think about it. If a person didn't want God's presence in their life, why would you stick them with God for all eternity? Wouldn't that kind of be like hell for that person, right? Could I say that? Does that make sense? Why would you do that? Now, we're Americans, and we're all into fairness, especially when it benefits us. That's not fair, man. I didn't get mine, man. It sounds like a bunch of potheads. That's not fair, man. Get a job and work. We like fairness when it works for us. When it doesn't work for someone else, that's when we say, you know, the world's not fair. We pick and choose. Wouldn't it be unfair to a person to make them be with someone else for all eternity? You catch my drift? Now, if that's your marriage, come talk to me. We can talk through some of this. All right, moving on. God has given each and every one of us a thing called free will, right? He's giving you a choice, whether you want his perfect presence in your life, right? Again, that goes both ways. Do you want God's perfect presence in your life? Because Satan would like to be present in your life. Some of you know something about that. Kind of like the time when a country preacher was preaching a lot of hellfire and damnation during a Sunday sermon, and at the very height of his message, the devil himself made his presence known by appearing on stage next to the preacher. Well, immediately everybody started freaking out, screaming, running up for their lives out the front door, and many people got trampled in the effort to get away from the very presence of evil incarnate. Well, that little country church cleared out in a New York minute, except for one elderly gentleman who sat calmly in the back. Ooh, that made old Beelzebub madder than a wet cat. And he marched right down that aisle to that senior, and he said he wanted his presence to be fully known and appreciated by that senior. And he said, "Don't you know who I am?" roared Satan. To which the sassy senior replied, "Yes, of course I do. Aren't you afraid of me?" barked Lucifer. "Not one bit," the senior snapped back. "Why aren't you afraid of me?" the Prince of Darkness demanded. "Because," said the old man, "for the last 52 years, I've been married to your sister." We're talking about presence, people. Well, okay. We as human beings, we have a piloting problem, I think. Remember that old bumper sticker back in the 80s? "God is my co-pilot." I still see him every once in a while in old cars. We don't mind having God as our co-pilot. That means that sometimes we drive and that sometimes we let Jesus drive. That's going to ultimately not work for you. That's going to ultimately fail. You need to be singing like Christian and country star Carrie Underwood, who sang that song. There it is. Remember that one? "Jesus, take the wheel. I can't do it on my own." That's some pretty good theology there, right? And while Yahweh is the great I am, always perfectly present, the problem is our presence tends to be partial, right? Guys, you know when your wife is trying to say something to you and you're like, "Huh?" And they get upset. I mean, guys sort of learn to listen to a cadence, and then when it goes up, that means you got to pay attention because it's a question, right? Don't mean to be giving away the secrets of the brotherhood here. It doesn't really work well anyway. Women already know, right? But we think it's clever. Our presents tend to be partial. Why? Because we want to be in control, right? We want answers. We are like doubting Thomas, who said, unless I can see Jesus' wounds with my own eyes, unless I can touch them with my own hands, I will not believe. And yet, despite our partial belief and partial presence, the Lord remains entirely faithful and perfectly and forever present. That's what I like what King David said in the famous 23rd Psalm. He said, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect and comfort me. Now, I think one of the things we've forgotten of Jesus' many names and titles, and we bring it out every Christmas time, is this title called Emmanuel. Remember? Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. So can we, as the followers of Jesus, be present in the partial in life? Yes, we can. Only, though, if you know in your heart, deep in your heart, that God is Yahweh, the great and eternal I Am, the one who is perfectly present in any and every and all seasons of your life. A lot of times we're like, where is God? We find out later he was walking with us the whole time, right? The whole footsteps poem and all that kind of thing. We need to repent of our tendency of being a doubting Thomas, who was spiritually arrogant enough to demand physical proof that Jesus rose from the dead. Really bold. You see, the world tells us that we must be in control. We must have answers to our questions. We need something tangible. Have you ever seen this? I've seen this in businesses and stuff. It sort of causes me to pause. This little plaque, anyone who remains calm during this situation obviously doesn't know what's going on. Doesn't elicit a lot of confidence, right? Nonsense. Yahweh, the great I Am, is perfectly present, especially and even in the dark moments of life. How do we know? Because Jesus is forever Emmanuel, God with us. And yes, it is true that God sometimes works in mysterious ways. Many of you have stories that you can tell, but it's even more true that he tends to be perfectly present in the everyday and ordinary moments of our lives, right? That's good news. Kind of like the time when heavy rains fell on a small town located in the bend of the Mississippi River. The rain wouldn't stop, and everybody knew that the floods were coming. And of course, there's always one man or one elderly woman who refuses to leave, right? I've heard the stories. So a van pulled up to the house with emergency personnel, instructing this person to evacuate with them. And the man said, God will save me, he declared. Now, hours later, the waters rose and the man was forced to a second floor of his home, and a boat pulled by the window. And the people said, come with us, jump in. And he said, no, God will save me, he boasted. Well, day turned to night, and the water levels grew so high that the man was forced to stand on the very pinnacle of his roof, and a helicopter came by and said, get in. But the man still refused. God will save me, he cried. Sadly, the man perished, having drowned in the flood, and in the afterlife, he found himself passing through the pearly gates of heaven and into the very manifest presence of God Almighty himself. And as he experienced that, the man looked up at God and said, Lord, why didn't you save me? Wasn't my faith strong enough? And God just stood there shaking his head, looking down at the man and said, my presence was with you the whole time. After all, what more do you want from me? I sent you a van, a boat, and a helicopter. What are you looking for? Why should we be surprised by all this? After all, the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 13:12, in regard to love and the relationships, and some of you are struggling with partial or broken relationships, I understand. Paul says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. Listen, God's not done yet, amen? He's not done. It's not the final chapter in that relationship or in your understanding of life or your struggles. You can be present in the partial. Why? Because you have a God who is perfectly present in all situations and at all times in your life. As Reverend McLean preached after the death of his dear son, he said, "You can love completely without complete understanding." And so as Christians, sometimes we just need to repent. Or like that one saying is, sit down, strap in, shut up, and hang on, and let Jesus take the wheel. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you that your truth is ever fresh, ever reminder of your goodness and your love for us. Lord, we don't have all the answers. Lord, we like to be in control. We want to touch things. We want to have proof and assurance, and yet sometimes we don't. And so we trust you in all things because you are Yahweh. You are the perfectly present, the great I am. You are Emmanuel, God with us, and we trust you in that. Lord, we repent from the partiality, Lord, the times when we do not turn to you, but we turn to other things or to our own devices, and it just doesn't work. So Lord, as has been sung, we say, Jesus, take the wheel because we can't do it on our own. So we'll trust you, especially in the partial, because you're the perfect present. And we'll thank you for all of this in Jesus' name, saying, amen.